The title of the message, The Cross. What is it to you? The cross, what is it to you? We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. It's a lot of reading. Bear with me. We're going to make it through it together, okay? So if you'll stand, we're going to read God's holy word, and then I'm gonna roll with it, okay? It says, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gifts as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. Gaius could be Gaius. So that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For the Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jew and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You can be seated. So who is Paul writing to? He's telling us right at the first of the of our passage today. He's telling us that he's writing to the church of God at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, to all saints in every place that call upon Jesus as Lord and Savior. He is writing to everyone who is called upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, everyone who has put their faith in Him and asked Him to forgive them of their sins. He is writing to us. Yes, Oak Quinn Baptist Church. He is writing to us. He is writing this letter to us, so I say that we should listen up and hear what He has to say. And then we need to rise to the challenge and do what He says to do. You see, He's writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to all the saved. He's writing to Oak Quinn Baptist Church. He's writing to anybody who's put their faith and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I say, listen up and hear what He has to say. Why should we listen to Paul? Why is it important that we should listen to Paul? See, Paul states clearly that he was called by God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Anybody ever heard of the Damascus experience? You see, that's what Paul had when he met Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That's what took Paul from an ordinary man to a man who had power to preach the gospel. The Damascus experience. You can find that in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 30. So why should we listen to Paul? Because he's a Christian saved by the grace of God. No doubt Paul was called to be an apostle of Jesus. No doubt Paul was saved by the grace of God. No doubt Paul can be trusted to deliver the message of Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul wrote it, inspired by God, and we need to listen to it and do what it says. So what do we see that he's telling the church at Corinth right off after he greets them? What do we see that he's telling the people? Telling the church. He is thankful for them. He's telling them, first of all, he says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. He's thankful for them because he knows that they have put their faith and trust in Christ Jesus. They have received God's grace because they have a relationship with Jesus. God's grace. God's amazing grace. There's something about God's grace. If you'll give me just a minute to talk about God's grace, the grace that is available to me and you and everyone in the whole world because of what Jesus did on the cross. Give me just a second to dive in to grace. You see, Jesus, he died to pay the penalty for our sin. A penalty that we could never, ever pay. This grace, if accepted, will leave us radically changed and we will never be the same again. You see, faith in Jesus doesn't stop by just having faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus radically changes our lives. We don't look the same. We don't want to do the same things. We don't want to be like the world anymore. We want to follow Christ, and His grace allows us to do that. The Holy Spirit changes us from the inside, so that we look totally different from who we were before we put our faith in Him. Grace, it's an amazing thing. Joby Martin says it like this. We're reading in our men's grow group a book by Joby Martin. He says it this way. He says, the grace of Jesus is the most undeniably powerful force I've ever encountered. And the only way I know how to describe it's like being hit by a train. Given this, he says, I like to call it being run over by the grace train. This is not a casual encounter that can be brushed off. The impact changes everything about everything. You see, if you've ever been run over by a train, I hope you haven't, right? Because you're still here with us. But if you've ever been run over by a train, it changes everything. You sure don't look the same. You sure don't feel the same. But God's grace can radically change you just like that. Because you don't want to be the same. You see, Paul knew that they had been changed. He knew that they had received the Holy Spirit. He knew that they had been given spiritual gifts, and he is thankful for that. But what were they doing? Were they using their gifts? Were they united in Christ? Could others see a difference in them? Was the gospel of Jesus Christ the most important thing to them? You see, before you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, there are a lot of things that try to take first place in your life. There are a lot of things. Man, I had a list that was really long of things that I like to put before Christ. But you see, when I accepted Jesus, he started changing me. And it was a long process with me. It took me a little bit longer to get from point A to point B, and I'm still working on it, than it might do some people. But I started to see just recently in the last probably 10 years that Jesus is the most important thing in my life. And the sooner that we figure that out, the better. You see, it's not sports. It's not hunting. It's not fishing. It's not working. It's not playing golf. It's not hanging out with the buds. None of that is more important than Jesus. See, that stuff's important. I still like to watch sports. If I get time to fish, I like to fish. But it's not the most important thing in my life. And that's Jesus and his grace and how he wants to change me to help me make an impact on somebody else that desperately needs him. You see, was the gospel of Jesus the most important thing to them? What about you? What about us as a whole? Are we united in the gospel of Jesus? We need to be, because others need to hear about this wonderful saving grace of Jesus. And who will tell them except for us? You can tell people that I might not ever be in contact with. They need to know. But first of all, we must be united. Paul is telling the church at Corinth that they must be united. They must have the common goal of bringing others to a saving faith in Christ Jesus. That's the most important thing. We've got to be united in the gospel. There were divisions in the church. Some were following different teachers because they preferred the way they taught and the way they did things. But Paul wants them to realize that even though there may be different ideas on certain things, here we go, the church must, underline must, the church must be unified on the main thing, and the main thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Got to be unified. Got to be willing to step out of our comfort zone. Tell someone about Jesus. Jesus came so that all could be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Romans 10:13. And then some people will tell us that there's many ways to be saved. I tell you, there's only one. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to be saved. Jesus tells us his own words. His own words. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3:16-17. That's what we've got to tell the world, the people that we come in contact with. We've got to be unified in the gospel. We've got to tell them who Jesus is and why he's important and why they desperately need him. See, that's the gospel. And that is what the Corinthian church and also Oaquin Baptist Church should be united in. Man, when you're united, man, you're powerful. See, unity in Christ equals power. The power to save. The power of the cross. The message of the cross is so powerful. You see, the word, the message of the cross is for two groups of people. The message of the cross is for two groups of people. Paul tells us about these two groups of people. Verse 18, he says, for the word of the cross is folly or foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So there's two groups of people that the message of the cross is for. Those who are perishing and those who are being saved. Those who are perishing, those who are being saved. I want to take a look at the second one first. Those who are being saved. Why do I want to look at that one first? Because that's the group I'm in. And I'm so glad that I'm in that group. And I know that a lot of you out here are in this same group. But there's some that are not. Okay? But I want to talk about that group first. Those who are being saved. I want to look at it first because if you're in this group, it's a wonderful place. It's the place that you want to be. But if you're not in this group, I want to encourage you to get in this group as soon as you possibly can. Believe me, this is the group that you want to be in. Those who are being saved. To the Christian, those who are being saved, the message of the cross is powerful. It's powerful. Tony Evans puts it this way. I love Tony Evans. I love the way he can just break something down to where it can speak to me. And I'm not the smartest person in the world, okay? It can speak to me. It can drive home what he's trying to say. He says, to those who are being saved, the cross's message is the power of God. We need to notice that this group consists of those who are already saved. But having been delivered from hell, they're now being saved, delivered from the power and the effects of sin. All accessible through the cross of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Without Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins and having victory over death, we'd be hopeless and helpless. But it's all accessible through the cross of Christ. Praise the Lord for the gospel. Praise the Lord that he left his throne in heaven, came and died for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The story of Christ and what he has done for you and me and anyone who will hear, believe, and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You want some of this grace that I've been talking about? Something that will change you, that will transform you into somebody totally different? It all happens because of the gospel. Jesus can change your life if you'll just let him. He paid the penalty that we could never pay. You see, all our sins, all these little things that we do wrong, maybe some big ones, most of us just small sins, but they're all the same. Every sin that we've committed caused Jesus to have to go to the cross and die for us. He lived a perfect life and he died and he paid that penalty, a penalty that me and you could never pay. I could never have enough money to pay for my salvation. I could never do enough good things to pay for my salvation. Whether I had millions or billions or trillions, I could never do it. But Jesus Christ did it. And he did it because he loves every single one of us. Not just the ones that think they do everything right, but the ones who think they do everything wrong. He loves us. He died for us. And his grace is for us if we'll just accept it. Jesus, alive and well, my sins paid for, and yours also, if you will accept his free gift of salvation. All you have to do is accept it. It's there for the taking. It's yours. Just reach out and accept his saving grace. See, when somebody offers you a gift, it's not yours until you take it. They can offer it all they want, but if you don't take it, it's not yours. If you turn around and walk away and leave it there, it's not yours. But Jesus is offering this gift of grace to you. And you just have to accept it. He's waiting for you to reach out and take it. Put your faith in him. It's so simple. Another quote from Joby Martin in this book we're reading. He says, there is no limit to the grace of God. There's no limit to the grace of God. He's got plenty of grace to give. There's no limit, but there is a condition. It must be received for the pardon to take place. If you in your past have shunned His grace, or taken it for granted, or stared at it with indifference, I want to encourage you, it's not too late. If you think just because you didn't accept Jesus, you didn't take Him up on His first offer, that you've lost your one and only chance, I've got good news. You're not too late. There is no limit to His offer of grace. He wants us all to be saved. He died for us all. Here's the deal. Quit messing around. Quit thinking you can figure it out on your own. Quit putting it off. Quit following the world. Quit thinking, how can this be? Quit the foolishness. Quit the foolishness. That leads us into group two. Some of you might be in this group. And if you are, I hope you're doing what Paul wants you to do, and listen up. Listen up. The second group, those who are perishing. You don't want to be in this group. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Unbelievers who have heard the message of the cross but have chosen not to accept Jesus and what He did on the cross. They look at the message of the cross as foolishness. I'm telling you, it's not foolishness. What's my message to this group of people? What would I say to them? Believe in Jesus. Believe in what He did on the cross. Put your faith in Him. What might seem foolish or seem like something that can't be explained is actually true. Listen up. It's not foolish, but it can't be explained. Our finite wisdom can never fully comprehend the infinite wisdom of God. We just have to quit relying on our wisdom and have faith in God and what His one and only Son, Jesus, did for us. See, we can't figure it out. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I couldn't figure it out. And even if you're the smartest person in the world, even if your IQ is off the charts, you can never figure out what Jesus did for us, because we can't comprehend His love for us. You see, we love the best way we can, but see, Jesus has a perfect love. He loved even His enemies. He died for the people that beat Him, the people that spit in His face, the people that stabbed Him with a sword, the people that talked down about Him. We can't figure that out, right? It's hard for us to do that. We try, but we can't figure it out. Our mind cannot comprehend how much Jesus loves us. We just have to quit trying to figure it out on our own. Because Jesus has already got it figured out. He's already got it taken care of. We just have to reach out and put our faith in Him. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. You say, John, what are you doing up here this morning? I'm trying to preach so that you will believe. Those who are perishing need the cross. They need it more than anything. They need to be saved, but they just can't seem to figure it out. We preach. We tell them about Jesus so that one day the light will come on. One day they'll say, "Ah, wow, that's what you've been trying to tell me? Jesus loves me that much? Really?" And they'll figure it out. And they will... And they'll realize that the cross is not foolishness, but it is the saving power of God. We preach so that the message of Christ, the gospel, will no longer be a stumbling block, but will be a stepping stone that leads someone to Christ. We preach so they will believe. Not a stumbling block, but a stepping stone that one by one by one by one will lead us to Christ. That's why we preach. You see, we're all... Maybe we don't call ourselves preachers, but we're all tellers of the gospel. And we need to tell everyone we come in contact with. Why? Why? Our world today, just as it was in the Corinthian church, is chasing all kinds of earthly wisdom and teaching, trying to find its way to happiness. And as a result, they are more miserable than ever. Sin is running rampant, and more are finding themselves on the road that leads to destruction. See, it's easy to get on that wide road that everybody else is on. It's easy to follow everyone down that path. See, we need to be on that narrow road that leads to life, not the wide road that leads to destruction. You can get on that narrow road today. I'm telling you the truth. I'm being honest with you. You can get on that road today if you just accept the gift. I challenge you to stop relying on worldly wisdom and start relying on the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the cross. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God's power enables us to identify sin problems in our lives and to be delivered from them. So why would anyone prefer human wisdom, the wisdom of the world, which is incapable of doing anything for us in the long run? God's power, the power of the cross, equals everything. Eternity in heaven with Jesus. A changed life that looks radically different than we were before. Why would they choose worldly power over that? See, worldly power, wisdom of the world, eternity separated from God in a destination called hell. You want eternity with Jesus or eternity in hell? Which one do you want? Paul tells us to choose Jesus. Paul tells us to choose the power of the cross. Paul tells us to choose salvation. Will you choose Jesus today?